decide. Should I dance or should I die? I can't decide.
And we are live. Okay. So, I don't really know how to start these things. How are you supposed to fucking start any conversation? It's weird enough starting a conversation with, like, a human being that's real. Starting a conversation with an imaginary audience is, like, the weirdest fucking thing in the world. But anyway, this is Misery Movies Episode 4. Today we're going to be talking about the movie Kite, which is an anime from 1999, I guess. This is Rudy's choice, and Rudy's with us again.
Yep. Yeah.
We're also joined by Sarah.
Hey, guys.
And AJ.
Yo.
So the whole team is here. So, as usual, we're going to, the first half an hour, or the first half of the podcast, is going to be a spoiler-free review of the film. And then we'll let you know when that part is over and when we can, when we're going to start taking a deeper dive into the film that will include spoilers and other you know, sensitive plot details. So, why don't we let Rudy get this thing started? Since this is a movie you picked, Rudy, so why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
All right, so this is a really violent anime. It's pretty violent. I mean, that's the thing that stands out. It's violent and it's very short. So, it's basically about this child assassin who's trained by some, I guess I'll say, organized crime elements to kill people who are not marginalized, but people who they basically think are bad dudes. In society, and she has a friend who is also a child assassin, and the movie revolves around those two, their relationship.
And lots of hardcore pornography, depending on which version of the movie you watched.
Correct.
And that's one interesting thing. There's actually at least, I guess there's like a whole bunch of cuts of this movie.
Yeah, but there's like three main cuts. There's the uncut one, which has all the, you know, the stuff that was labeled as like
penis.
Yeah.
All
the dicks in it, basically. Then there is the sort of uncut one that has like a scene missing or something that was doing too whatever to be shown. And then there is the fully cut one, which I guess is missing probably
15 minutes. According to what I read, I guess there's three cuts, but it's been cut basically in two ways. There's one version of the film that is like the director's cut, which is about 60 minutes long and contains about 15 minutes of pornography basically just spliced in. And then there's the 45-minute cut, which is basically just like a violent noir kind of revenge film. Mm. And right off the bat here, guys, maybe we should talk about that before we get, like, just quick going around. What do you think would be the better version of the movie? The 45, we all watched the fully uncut version of the movie. Do you think the film benefits from, do you think the 60-minute version of the movie or the 45-minute version of the movie is better is what I'm trying to ask?
Well, for me personally, the uncut raw version just added to the ridiculousness of it, which I liked, actually. I like a good ridiculous movie.
I think that it depends on what you want to get out of it. If you want a hentai, then that's probably what you want.
I don't really see the point of this movie without the hentai. I feel like that's half the movie, you know.
I think I prefer the version with the 60-minute version because, I mean, this is a ridiculous movie anyway, and I feel like the over-the-top pornography actually adds to the ridiculousness, which I think adds to the movie. Although I could see some people maybe not wanting that in their violence porn. They don't want regular porn with their violence porn. So. But if you were watching it for the hentai, some people like a little bit of hentai with their violence. I don't know. But, yeah.
Or a little bit of violence with their hentai.
Right, yeah. I mean, so I guess it all depends on what you want to get out of it.
Personally, I would definitely prefer the 45-minute version.
Why does that not surprise me?
I like my violence porn without regular porn. Yeah.
You just don't like penis. You just don't want to see all that dick everywhere.
That's true. I had to look away during those scenes. It was uncomfortable.
But they were also necessary, AJ.
No, it was completely unnecessary in my opinion. Like, it is a different film with them. However, I don't feel like that film is
improved,
necessary in any way. Like, it's literally just like, oh, here's, you know, a slice of 2 minutes or 5 minutes of porn, and it doesn't like benefit the film in any way, really.
Yeah, I am definitely with AJ on this one. I mean, I have no personal objection to there being graphic sex scenes in a movie.
I do.
I'm sure there are movies that have done that well. None come immediately to mind, but I'm sure that, but the reality is in this movie, like, they felt like to call them interludes would be, I think, too generous. It really did feel like, okay, let's put this movie on pause and flip over to like the hardcore porn channel. It was just so totally out of left field and distracting, I felt, that it didn't really add anything to the movie. And in fact, I just got that they just felt so completely spliced in. They really didn't feel like part of the movie. I am a big fan of giving a director discretion, and most of the times, if I was told there's a director's cut of a film, and then there's a cut that the studio made a boulderized there, but anyway, there's a cut that the studio makes that takes out things that the studio thought the audience would be uncomfortable with, and then there's the movie as the director intends it to be filmed, as the director intends it to be viewed, rather. In nearly every instance, the director's cut, I think, is going to be the better film and would certainly be the film that I choose to watch. That said, this is the sex scenes in this movie are just so incoherent and add so little to the rest of the film and are so distracting that I just feel like it's two movies spliced together. Really, there's a violent revenge thriller or a violent action movie mixed with some really like graphic hardcore pornography, and really awkwardly too. And some of the transitions between the scenes were like, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but there's a sex scene near the end of the movie where initially I actually thought it might have been a flashback, because the like spatially it didn't make sense to me. Like there are two scenes, it feels like two scenes that are going on at once, and I discovered about a minute into the scene that they had to be taking place in the same physical space. But I was convinced for that first 60 seconds that one of those things was happening in one place and the other was a flashback going on in another character's head, because I couldn't reconcile that space in my mind. Like, it seemed physically impossible for that sex scene to be taking place at the same time and in the same place as something else. Like, I swear to God, the fucking backgrounds were different. I just, if you told me that they made a 45-minute version of this film, weren't able to sell it, and then spliced in 15 minutes of pornography in order to market it as a hentai, I would believe that. Now, I don't think that's what happened. I think that this is, I don't know, this is some weird Japanese thing. My knowledge of anime is pretty limited. Maybe it's a commonplace thing to make like a normal version of a film and an explicit sex like hentai version of, I don't know. I don't fucking know, but it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think you may have hit on something there. I think it may sort of be a cultural thing. I don't want to get too like, I don't know, like racist. I mean, but we're not like, I don't know if we're necessarily what would be the target audience for this. Well, some of us maybe more than others. I mean, none of us are like, you know, Japanese men in their 40s, you know, watch anime a lot. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the audience or not. I don't, but I think it might be something cultural that kind of comes bundled with a lot of stuff. Like, as far as, because I haven't really seen any other hentais, but a lot of, like, I have seen one other one. It was called Bible Black. I think I made you watch some of it, Hank.
It's likely.
But, like, when, like, hentais, it seems like are really, like, the sex scenes are, like, it would be a lot more than that. Like, a lot more sex than that. So, mm-hmm. like, I don't think, like you said, I don't think it's a case where they just decided to splice it in to make it a hentai. But, I mean, I don't know. As I said, it could be something cultural that we just don't get, really.
Right. But the sex scenes were jarring for you too, right? I'm not the only one who did not.
Yeah, it was kind of like, well, that's a little weird. I mean, why is that? And the music and stuff. I don't want to spoil
it. Oh, my God, yeah, the music. Rudy, I'm glad you mentioned the music, because that was something I really wanted to mention about the movie but had forgotten in the last 2 months. Like, that weird, like, smooth jazz soundtrack was just felt so totally out of place to me. I mean, I liked it. It was actually one of the better parts of the film, I guess, but it did not feel like it fit. It was an almost mournful soundtrack.
Yeah.
No, I don't think this movie would have been anything to me if it weren't for all the sex scenes, all the penis everywhere. Oh my God. I mean, and it really was so unnecessary, but I feel like the actual plot itself, it could have had potential, but if you take out all the sex scenes, it's still kind of, I don't know, boring and silly. I didn't feel like it was a very deep movie, personally, or even very interesting without the sex scenes. Like, I needed something to make me laugh. Come on.
Yeah, the sex scenes did add something. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not sure what it was, but it added something.
Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, whoever directed this did watch a lot of porn and just base it on that, because the way they did montages where they would just keep changing positions, it was pretty weird. Like, it wasn't a normal sex scene.
Yeah, no, it did look like pornography.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But once we get to the spoiler-free part, we can go into more detail about why that's even more hilarious.
I will say, as far as the sex scenes are concerned, I thought they were pretty bad. And I don't mean morally bad. I mean, like, here's the thing. I guess we can say up front, I think we discussed this before, and we can mention that there is rape in this movie. Looking at these sex scenes, like, if you're going to do a sex scene in a movie, I imagine you want it, or if maybe it's a rape scene, I imagine you want it to be one of three things, right? You want it to be either the first possibility, which might be morally reprehensible, but it's a possibility, would to be to make it titillating somehow, right? And if you were going to make it titillating, you would cut it in a way that would be erotic, or that would be styled so that the person watching it would get aroused, right? I mean, that's what it. The second possibility would be to cut it in a way that made the audience feel like disgusted or horrified. After all, this is a rape scene, and you would think you would want the audience to go, "Oh my God!" You know, you would want them to be taken aback, or you could cut that in a way that would really make the viewer emphasize with the character who is the victim of the rape. And really, you know, there's a lot of different tricks that you could use to really bring out the horror of that moment. The third way you could go would be what I would call the, like, a history of violence method, right?
Yeah.
Which would be to cut the scene or frame the scene in a way where it's highly ambiguous. And I don't want to have a discussion right now about whether it's like ambiguous rape scenes in a movie are a like morally allowable thing. Like, I know there's a big debate about this, right? About, well, is there ever such a thing as an ambiguous rape. And I don't necessarily want to have that discussion now. But in cinema, the fact remains that some movies have cuts, that there are movies that exist that have scenes where you, when you're watching it, you're not sure if you're watching a rape or an instance of consensual intercourse. And I think one of the best instances of this is in the movie, the Cronenberg film, A History of Violence. There's a deeply ambiguous scene in that movie that I don't want to spoil the movie, but there's a really, where you think you know what you're watching, and then you're like, wait. And that movie, that scene is shot very carefully to achieve that effect. But anyway, so this movie, dealing with the fact that some of the sex scenes in this movie might be rape, I would think you'd want to frame it in one of those ways. And as I said, some of those great ways are possibly more morally permissible than others, or more acceptable than others. But if just from sheer, like, amoral stance, trying to evoke an effect from the audience, you would either want to titillate them, or you would want to shock them, or you would want them to be confused or questioning, or, you know, in a kind of, like, right, leave them kind of hanging. I don't feel like these sex scenes did any of those things. I felt like they were really, really, like, lifeless. if a sex scene can be lifeless, very much like, I don't know, I almost thought of, like, nature documentaries where it's like, oh, like, the male mounts the female and insertion takes place. Like, they were cut in a very neutral way, but not even neutral, like just like antiseptic, very like, oh, this is like a diagram. And since it's an animation, it actually makes that effect worse. Like, this is a sexual diagram. This is a diagram of, like, that like could be used as an explainer for, like, the mechanics of sex, but which is not, like, erotic or shocking or even really, like, interesting or confusing. So I don't know, maybe you guys had a different take, but
no, I think this was definitely intentioned as porn, because I know you guys warned us a few weeks ago there's a rape scene in this, so okay, I prepared myself, because, you know, I'm fairly desensitized to a lot of things in movies, but with rape scenes, you never know, sometimes I might feel a little shocked and have to look away. But so then, you know, I prepared myself, I watched this last night. It happened. I'm like, okay, was that actual rape? But that really, because it really didn't come across that way to me. It did seem very ambiguous and like it was supposed to just be pornographic and titillating, which it wasn't, in my opinion. It was just ridiculous to me. So, no. But you'd make a good point, because I think it should lean one way or another, and it really doesn't in this film at all. Like, there might be one scene where they make it clear what it is, but for most of it, they really don't.
Yeah. AJ, who do you want to weigh in on the sex scenes?
I mean, about all I have to say, like, I would have preferred it without.
Yeah.
That's basically the extent of my review. I think they were pretty much just, I think both of you hit it on the head of, it was kind of a nature documentary, like, intended to describe, like, what porn is. Like, the male mounts the female in this pornographic manner, you know? Like, I could see a Japanese teacher showing that to, like, young Japanese boys. This is how sex occurs, you know?
Rudy?
Yeah, so, I guess if you're a hikikomori and you're in your room, your one-room apartment, I don't know if I pronounced
guilty
that right, but I don't really give a shit. Yeah, I am too, but, I mean, I guess if you're that, and, I mean, maybe you want a nature documentary in your porn, because maybe you want to see how it's done. I don't really know. Also, a great man once said, I like to have sex until I come. And I think that these sex scenes embodied that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That is very deep.
That's profound, Rudy. I don't know. I don't know. It was just not. It was definitely more. I guess my closing thought on that is that they were definitely more pornographic than cinematic. And as far as that goes, I'm not sure that as even from a pornographic perspective, they were particularly like satisfying, but I am not a hardcore pornography person. So maybe those in our audience who are would have a different takeaway. So let's talk about something other than the graphic sex in the movie, please.
Do you want to go around and do our vulture ratings?
Yeah, we should.
Sure, let's do that, and then we can do a deeper dive into the film after that. So, Rudy, why don't you start us off, since this was your movie?
I'd give this about 3.8 vultures out of 5, or however many. Because I don't think the scene... There was one scene in the movie... the bathroom scene, I won't get into it, but it was really cool and was really well, I guess, it's not choreographed. It's
drawn?
I mean, I don't know. It was really well thought out, and I thought that brought the movie, that elevated the movie a lot. Mm-hmm. But the plot and stuff, you know, as much as it was there, wasn't really great. I mean, I don't really get into plot and story anyway, but it wasn't really that good, and there wasn't really much else to hold attention, but the parts that were violent were pretty good. So the pornography, I mean, yeah, you take or leave that. I mean, it was gratuitous, and if you like that, then cool. If not, then I don't know. Yeah, I'd say about 3.8.
Okay. Sarah.
I'll give this 2 vultures, and one of those vultures is for the penis.
Or the penis is, I guess.
Yeah, I could just give it 2 dicks with that.
Yeah, there you go. two erect vultures.
Yeah.
2 vultures standing fully upright. Okay. Anything else to say about the movie, Sarah?
No, just penis.
Yeah. EJ.
I'd give it 4 out of 10 vultures. Basically... Like Rudy said, I definitely agree that that bathroom scene was probably one of the best in the movie.
Just to pause here, there are actually 2 bathroom... Believe it or not, there are 2 bathroom scenes in this movie. Are you talking about the first bathroom scene or the second bathroom scene?
Both of them, honestly. Okay. But I think Rudy's talking about the first bathroom scene. And I agree that one's pretty spectacular. And the fact that, like... I don't know why, like, it's just an emotional response on my part, but I loved the violence in this movie. Like, it was satisfying. Like, there's no way that the porn scenes could have been satisfying, but the violence was definitely satisfying. it was just, like, drawn in a way that I really appreciated.
Actually, it's a good thing you ended on the action scenes, because that's something I wanted to talk about before we get into spoilers, and it's a good way to start my review. So I didn't think much of the action scenes in this movie. I thought they were kind of generic, honestly. I mean, one of the great things about animation is you have this limitless canvas, right? So if you're going to make an animated action film, you have so much possibility in terms of where you can set the scenes, what you can do with them. And the fact that the fight scenes, the action scenes that occur in this movie happen in pretty generic settings as far as action movies are concerned, like bathrooms and subways, and there's one that involves a dirt vertical drop that I'm not going to get into too far, which is, I don't know, I feel like I've seen all those things in other movies, and I don't feel like this film brought much to that in terms of, like, style. I understand that there are moments that you couldn't have done outside of animation as a medium, but those moments didn't really rise above, like, Saturday morning cartoon fare for me. And the one, like, innovation in the action scenes, and I don't think this is a spoiler because it happens again and again and again, is the fact that the bullets explode. and that seemed like such a Michael Bay moment to me. It's like, well, on paper, these action scenes seem a little dry. She goes and to these different settings, and she basically shoots people. Can we spice this up a little? And he's like, well, I know. What if the bullets exploded? And I don't know. It just felt – there's one exception, which is actually not the bathroom scene you guys were talking about, but the other bathroom scene, which maybe I'll talk about in a little more detail when we don't have when we can introduce spoilers. But I thought there were a couple of moments there where the where it really took advantage of animation as a medium. But the rest of it, I don't know. Even compared to something like Kill Bill, which is not an animated film, like the action scenes there are like so carefully choreographed, and there's so much going on, and there's so much inventiveness and innovation, and it's like you're almost watching like ballet or dance or something. And I know maybe it's a little maybe it's telling that I would rather that these action scenes were more like dance sequences, but I don't know. I just, they didn't do much for me. As I said, I thought the sex scenes were kind of inessential at best. And I don't know. So not much, aside from a couple of moments that we might talk about either, not much in this film worked for me. Whereas I didn't like Hard Candy. When I left Hard Candy, I was like, I had a lot to talk about because it made me angry. This movie didn't really make me angry. I was just like, yeah, okay, that hour's gone. So I'm going to give it, I'm giving it half a Vulture because there were a couple of okay moments, and I want to save a complete no Vulture score for something really terrible, but half a Vulture for me.
I'm just going to add in, I agree about the action scenes. They were all very dull to me. It just didn't do anything. It didn't really stand out. It wasn't very interesting. That's why I thought the sex scenes were the best part for me, just because they were so stupid. They were not well done, but they made me laugh to some degree, which is probably saying something bad about me, considering. But just the fact that they would stick them in there at random moments in these odd montages. Because if it had honestly just been like action scenes and this girl assassinating people alone, it would have been really, really bland.
See, one of the reasons I really liked the action scenes was because, like, I really don't like action scenes in basically any other movie. Like, I didn't like the action scenes in Kill Bill.
What?
It came off, of course it's supposed to be absurd, but it just wasn't, like, really interesting. And I guess the thing that I appreciate about In Kite is the fact that it is pretty typical, but then, like, there's this slight absurdity to the physics that I really enjoyed.
Right.
Like, it's not, you know, utilizing anime as a means to really pull off some shit, but there's this, like, uncanny valley sort of thing that happens.
Yeah,
where, you know, you're supposed to look at the action scenes and see something that's absurd, but it's not quite absurd enough, and it just sort of forces you into this, like, slightly uncomfortable space that I just really enjoyed.
Hmm.
Especially during, like, as you mentioned, the vertical drop scene. That was pretty spectacular, in my opinion.
Are we ready to move on to the spoiler section? Spoiler yep. alert. Okay, so as usual, I urge anyone who's listening now to, if you haven't seen the movie, to stop, watch the movie. It's only an hour long. It may be difficult to find, but we'll include a link in the, I'm not even sure where you can buy the uncut version of the film. I'll try to dig up an uncut version and a maybe also include the bolderized version as well. We'll see. But I encourage you to go watch the film, come back, and listen to the part that has spoilers. Or if you don't give a shit, if you don't plan to watch the film, or you don't mind listening to spoilers, you can listen. You can keep listening. Okay. So, final warning. What do you guys want to talk about in terms of the deeper whatever.
Oh, Will. You know this movie isn't deep?
Yeah, it's not. It's not a deep movie.
Rudy, do you want to lead this one?
I don't really have much to say, but I guess we can start with the bathroom scene, the first bathroom scene.
Okay.
Why do I only remember one bathroom scene? I just watched this last night.
The second bathroom scene, the first bathroom scene is when she's assassinating the twin.
The twins, and, okay.
Yeah, and the second bathroom scene is when O'Bury attacks the cop whose name I've already forgotten after 2 weeks.
It's Akai, I believe.
Akai?
Akai, something like that. I'm not sure.
That's when O'Bury attacks Akai and gets his ass beat. The second one is the one that's mostly in darkness and stuff, but we can maybe talk about that one after the first one. At least I think that one took place in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was, it started in the bathroom anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, that first bathroom scene. So how about that violence? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, I there's one point where there's one point where Sala, is she like thrown out the window or jumps out the window?
I think she's pushed, right?
Yeah,
she's pushed, and the guy has his arms around.
Right, and then like there's this long fall, which multiple stories.
Yeah.
Long enough
and underground.
Yeah. And there's no way that like anyone could possibly survive that, and apparently like she falls on top of him and survives because he breaks her fall. Was that how it was?
Yeah
Like that was just, I mean, yes, you've seen that in cartoons before, but it just like kind of, it sort of summed up all of the previous violence moments where it's like, yes, this is absurd, but also you're supposed to take it at least somewhat at face value. And it's just, it really is absurd, and I like that part.
Was that the one where they fell onto that truck and then it broke the road?
Fell through the pavement.
You know, we need to talk about the infrastructure in Japan. That's what we need to talk about.
Yeah.
And then it blew up, and she was onto a bed.
Oh, she still survived, by the way.
She still survived because of the bed. That's why she survived.
Honestly, there's only one moment that I really remember distinctly in that scene, and that's when they actually shoehorn in the middle of this action scene that involves this long vertical drop. They fall by down past the window where two people are fucking. like we gotta get 60 seconds of porn in case we've lost our target audience. And it was like that moment. I think is the film to me. Like, you have one really contrived action scene that had already lost me by that point, that was broken up by a moment of just totally gratuitous pornography. It's like, let's look in this window and see, and oh, there's two people fucking in there. Like, it's not like they were doing that thing that they do in movies sometimes where they cut into different apartments and show reaction shots from people like tangentially involved in the larger like fight that's going on. It's not like they fell past a woman like who was cooking grits or something, and like some guy who's sitting there reading his newspaper. It's the only one they showed in was like the office where the guy's fucking his secretary or whatever. I thought, what the fuck? Like, this is a movie right here. This is a whole movie. It's like this action scene was so dumb, and then there's this moment of pornography, and then just back to the action scene.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that I think is almost like self-referential type stuff going on, because I mean, like, they had to have known that, especially with the dialogue in the scene. I think it was like, oh, Mr. Manager, it's so satisfying or something, or we might get caught, and he's like, but it's so satisfying. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I mean, it was like so contrived and like weird. Like, yeah, no, I really like the also the dialogue between the twins at the start of the action scene, that because that must be what Japanese people think about American culture, right? He's like, well, you know, if we fuck up, we can just buy an Oscar or something. Like, and I thought, I don't know, I thought that the, so, like, somebody mentioned the bullets exploding and stuff, and I thought that was really, like, while that might have been over the top and, like you said, Michael Bay type stuff, for that particular scene, it kind of made the stuff make a little more sense, I guess. I mean, if it could be seen as making sense. But right. Also, I think those bullets, the exploding bullets, really add a visceral feel to the movie that wouldn't be there otherwise. Like AJ said, there's something satisfying about the action scenes that you can't quite pin down, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think it's that visceral element. Like, you know, she'll shoot the guy and you see his head bulge up and then it, you know, so grows and just explodes. And the way they did that with the animation is really, it's satisfying, you know, how they show the, you know, the kill shots and all of that. It's satisfying in a way that a lot of live-action movies really aren't.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen an action scene that I feel was, like, satisfying in that way.
Honestly. Yeah.
I didn't find anything about this movie satisfying. So.
I guess there's something to be said about that, like, visceral level of satisfaction, though. It's almost like popping bubble wrap, right?
It's like, exactly, yeah. It's that, like, you know, it's the new trend of oddly satisfying videos online where they're, like, cutting sand with knives and et cetera.
So someone's head blowing off is roughly as satisfying.
Yeah, exactly. It's an aesthetic sort of thing. Well,
mm-hmm. Oh, of course. It always comes back to aesthetics. So, trying to think of other things. So as long as we're talking about action sequences and as long as we're talking about bathrooms, we might as well talk about the other bathroom scene, which was probably one of only two scenes in the movie that I really liked. We can talk about the other one later, maybe. The other one is like the last scene of the movie, but I really did like what they did in the second action scene. It caught me more than anything else in the movie. The scene where the bathroom, it's like totally dark and, well, it's largely dark, and then it gets darker and darker until you can just see the just like the end of the detective cigarette. I thought that was a little cliche. I mean, we've seen that before in movies, but at least it was an attempt to do something with animation that would have been more difficult to do with film. And it was stylish, and the way that the scene would cut to black, you know, and you weren't always seeing everything that was going on while they were fighting. I thought that was a little bit, it caught my attention more than the other fight scenes, certainly. And it seemed to have a certain level of like style that the previous scenes didn't. It wasn't terribly deep. It wasn't terribly, like, it wasn't, like, shockingly innovative. But it was like, oh, hey, like, the animators are actually paying attention to what they're doing. They don't seem to be on autopilot, like, just rendering the script, you know, anymore. So I thought that was a pretty cool moment on the whole. And that one, I thought, because so much of it was in darkness and because so much of it was unseen, it was actually a little bit more engaging. Like, you just, it engaged, you know, it forced your mind to hook onto the film and start to try to figure things out as opposed to just dictating it to you, you know?
Will only liked the part of the movie where you couldn't see what was happening. It was like, turn it off, please.
Yeah. I don't know, did anyone else have any thoughts on that scene, or was I the only one who was really...
Honestly, I totally forgot it happened.
I love
the impression this movie left on me.
I really like that scene stylistically. I mean, there was like, I remember in particular the one part where I think it's... one of them is holding the other. I forget, you know, who was in which position, but, you know, they speak and then, like, the lights flicker on and off, mm-hmm. and then they're in the same position when the lights come on, and that, in particular, like, the art of that moment really stuck with me. And the fact that it was, you know, it had to be a sequence, like, you couldn't, like, have a piece of art that conveyed the same feeling
right.
that it did.
It was almost like a flip book, kind of.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And that just, like, not even in relation to the movie, like, I don't think it made the movie, like, cohesively better, but that sequence, as you know, in isolation, was really good.
So the other scene that showed, I think, some level of style or anything was the final scene of the movie. In fact, okay, so I almost think that the final scene of the movie was too good for the rest of the movie, because it hints at a like level of like profundity or a level of thought and consideration that was obviously not there in the preceding 59 minutes. Not only the shot where Obori is shot, which was in some ways kind of cliche, you know, he drops a bag and the cans of cat food spill out. We've seen that. But the moment where Sawa is waiting there on the floor for Obori to come back, and you hear the door open, and you know, and she's assuming it's Obori, but you know, on some level, you just watched him get killed, probably. So it's like, well, who's coming through the door? And just that kind of the dissonance between what she's expecting and what you're fearing, I think was kind of remarkably thoughtful, considering how dumb everything that happened before it was.
Long pause.
I agree with that.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have any.
That sounds about right, honestly.
I think I missed the sound of the door opening. I just thought, okay, he's dead, and she's going to be really sad eventually when she finds out. But no, I guess if that happened, you can just assume it's the new assassin.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is it someone coming to kill her? I mean, maybe. I mean, there's also the outside chance, although it's extremely unlikely, that it's Obori actually coming back. You know, because the movie doesn't make it absolutely 100% unequivocal that he was killed. It also could just be like, I don't know, just some other homeless person coming in there to chill, you know? I must say that the most emotionally moving part of the film, though, for me, was when those cans of cat food spilled out, and I'm like, oh my god, those cats aren't going to get their dinner. That was, for me, the saddest and most heart-wrenching moment in the film, because those cats were so adorable, and I was like, I would have been so like satisfied by if the last scene of the film was just them feeding those cats. And it's like, oh, that for me would have been a happy ending. So the thought that who else is going to feed the fucking cats? And if Sawa gets killed, like, is anyone going to feed those cats? This is just deeply distressing to me. These are the kinds of things that will upset me in a movie. Wasn't too concerned. I mean, Obori, who cares? He was fucking, like, he was two-dimensional in every possible sense of the term. But the cats? I was concerned for their welfare.
I didn't feel like any of the characters were really fleshed out, actually, now that you bring that up. Even Sawa, because you find out, you find out that her parents were murdered. And then she was, I guess, adopted by this detective who's actually a bad guy. He's very rapey as well.
Extremely rapey.
Yeah. I was being generous. But you just don't really get much from her personality either. And then you find out later that, you know, the detective, he's the one who murdered her parents, and she says, I know. Like, I've known for a long time. What?
Yeah.
And you're still,
I don't understand that either, really.
It's just, there's just no real sense of depth to any of the characters, I felt. That's right. Why, like, I didn't feel connected. Like, when Aubrey was killed, I was like, yeah, I actually thought about the cats too. And then they immediately showed the cats looking, you know, expectant. And you know they're not going to get fed tonight, so...
What the hell? Yeah. Yeah, I'm totally with you as far as, like... It seems to me like the only thing she was waiting for was the best moment in the plot of the film to kill him. Like, it's like, well, I have to wait until the climax of the film to shoot the guy who killed my parents.
Yeah, I can't do it right now when he's right next to me. What?
Right, and I certainly have to, like, allow him, well, because that last rape scene is so ambiguous, I shouldn't say allow him. Like, under normal circumstances, I would never say allow someone to rape you, since obviously, if you're being raped, you're not allowing anything. But because of the way that film where it's like, well, is this part of a ploy on her part, part of a ploy on Akai's part? Are they collaborating? Are they not? That, by the way, is the scene that I couldn't make any sense of in terms of, like, coherence. But, I mean, she had to, like, I don't know, that, like, to... There were so many opportunities when she could have killed this motherfucker before, and it doesn't seem like a more thoughtful movie might have like dwelt on the idea that like of Stockholm syndrome and whether she had been terrorized by him to the degree that like she felt she didn't have a other option, and then she Oburi gradually brings her out of her shell, and like now she feels empowered to like she feels like she's got to confront this guy and do something like. There was a narrative, maybe, and I guess that's maybe what the writers intended, but it's so flimsy that it really seems like she's just kind of going along with this until the plot necessitates that she not.
Yeah, it made no sense. It really made absolutely no sense at all. And with that last scene where, you know, she's, at first it looks like rape. It looks like she doesn't want it. And then all of a sudden she's like with it, and they're doing that montage thing again where they keep changing positions. Okay.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's really engaging in it. And Aubrey is just staring at them the whole time. Why?
You like the fact that they made him watch.
Kind of make him watch.
They just turned it into porn at that point. Like, if it was supposed to be emotional or scarring in any way, they failed.
But it was just like porn. They turned it into porn that the other character was like just inserted into, honestly.
Yeah.
Like they're like, all right, Aubrey, you have to watch this now.
Yeah. I'll be honest, for most of this movie, I felt like Aubrey during that scene. Except it was like Rudy holding me down. But yeah, that scene was so fucking bewildering to me. That was the scene I was talking about earlier. When I was initially watching that scene, I thought what was happening was that we knew Aubrey was being held down and being like beat up. And my thought was that at the same time, she was having a flashback to like the first instance that Akai raped her or one of the previous instances when she had been abused by him. Because it did not look to me like these things were happening in the same physical space. And it was only like, as I said, 30, 40 seconds into it, that I'm like, wait, now the way they keep cutting back and forth and the way that it's like they're obviously making him watch, this must be going on in the same physical space. But I swear to God, the backgrounds didn't match up. Like there was no physical way they could have been doing what they were doing while he was also being held on the floor next to like there's no scene that shows Oburi, the guy who's holding him, Akai and Sawa in the same frame either. So it felt, which I guess maybe is because they were planning to edit like 15 minutes out of the movie. But just in no way did this feel, it really felt like two parallel scenes that were happening at once. I just couldn't get my, it just did not feel right. And I obviously it shouldn't have felt right, but if I thought this movie was more sophisticated than I think it is, I would say they were trying to do that to create some kind of like sense of like, you know, in the audience that something was profoundly unright, that something was wrong, something was just up there. But it just felt like really weird, disorienting animation to me.
Can I also just say that at some point during this movie, I just felt like, okay, every guy in this film who's like middle-aged and up is a rapist. So when they were going down, when they were, you know, doing that, you know, drop, and they cut to that scene of the guy fucking the woman in the office,
right,
I immediately thought, oh my God, another rape scene. He's raping a little girl or something. Immediately, I didn't even think for a second that it was consensual because I just thought all the old guys in this are rapists. Right. And now I just don't even know.
Just like real life.
just like real life.
Exactly.
Right.
Where you turn 40 years old and immediately become a rapist.
Ew.
Yeah. Not wrong.
So, any other thoughts about this film?
Well, someone mentioned Kill Bill earlier, and I guess Tarantino liked or appreciated this film in some way because he had the actress who played Gogo Yubari, remember the girl with the big chain ball or whatever in the first Kill Bill? Like, I guess he had her watch it to study up on her role or something from the role of Sawa, I guess. I guess he appreciated that character in some way.
Yeah, I read that too, actually, after I watched it. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how much you want to read into that. Tarantino likes a lot of really bad films. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was going to say is it seems like, I mean, that to me is basically a sign that this is a good exploitation film, if nothing else. I mean,
right.
Or decent, a passable exploitation. That you can get some form of, like, you know, titillation or voyeurism out of it, which, I mean, a lot of the scenes, you know, show that. I mean, especially like you said, the one where they're falling down the vertical drop and he sees the guy fucking the intern or whatever. I mean, I don't know. There wasn't much in that. Like, I don't have much to say about the movie other than it was very short and very violent.
Right.
And I guess
that does pretty much sum it up.
Yeah. Nasty, yeah. Brutish, and short.
Thank you for saying that, because earlier I was going to say that when someone was talking about the film in different terms, but I would have had to interrupt their thought. But yeah, nasty, brutish, and short. That's the perfect summary for Kite. And also,
I mean, it's pretty Hobbesian, I guess. I mean, it's basically like, well, people do shit for no reason, and basically, fuck it. Like, you're going to have criminals who do shit, so why not just let everybody, I don't know, like, just fuck it, pretty much. That was me. It's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a very nihilistic film.
Yeah.
Which I don't object to. I mean,
yeah, I certainly don't either.
And I think we're approaching the point where the podcast will be longer than the film, so maybe any closing that. Especially if we have to splice 15 minutes of pornography into the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That'll be on you, Will.
We'll hire an independent contractor. So any final thoughts about this movie?
Just penis.
Penis.
Yeah.
Dicks.
All God dicks. Damn it, Sarah.
You know, this, like, we should do more penis movies. So I can say penis.
Less penis movies. All the penises.
We'll have to put a poll up on the site. You want us to do more?
We're going to put a big poll up. So that's what we're going to do.
I think that we've done pretty well so far. I mean, only two out of the four movies that we've watched, only 50% of the movies we've watched have had penises in them. So
yeah.
I think that's the perfect balance, really. You can't really accuse us of being pro or anti-penis as a result, you know?
I mean, also only 50% had child rape in them.
So you can't accuse us of being pro or anti-pedophile either.
Equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, yeah, I think we will call it a day there. We'll end the podcast there. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with whatever movie Sarah chooses to inflict on us.
You will all love it.
I'm sure we will.
Okay, I'm going to be very calculating now.
Just to maximize the emotional, like, brutality, yes. Like, yeah. The pain that you inflict on us.
I'm going to traumatize all of you.
I do. Yeah.
Especially AJ, though. I just want to, like, throw penises at her.
Oh, God.
I think that would actually be sexual assault. I mean, I'm not...
That would fit the theme, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Well, I refuse.
You can't. They're just going to hit you in the face, okay?
No.
I am going to steer clear of this discussion. So I guess that's as good a point as any to end this on, really. So I hope you will tune in again for our next episode. And until then, how do we...
Penis.
Stay miserable.
That's a good...
Yeah, remain a miserable penis. There you go. Okay. All right. Fuck it.
Penis.